Praise God. I like coming down here. Is that okay with y'all? You'll thank me later. Do you know last Sunday I didn't give y'all a space story? I'm very sorry. Amen. Hey, Pastor James and Melissa, they are having a great day today. They're at the Church of Disney today, and so praise God. We prayed over them last week, but let's continue to believe that they're safe and protected and just having a refreshing, good time. Amen. As you know, when you're on the beach, you're pretty much not moving very much if you want to. At Disney, you don't really have that option, so their feet are getting a workout today, so let's just believe that they're refreshed, amen? They're not going to come back needing a vacation from the vacation, amen? Let's keep believing over them. And the praise and worship is so wonderful and blessing. Thank God that Chase and Isaac is here. Sorry, I had Elijah on my mind, and that was a word name that was coming out. But Thomas, thank you for leading, and Hallie, amen? And Jerry and Valerie, thank you so much. Praise God. Amen. I had a message on my heart, and I'm excited about it. Praise God. Amen. You're a good-looking crowd. The church, the pastor's out of town. Y'all are all here. Amen. It's a good time. We had Miss Jim had a wonderful birthday on Friday. He came in and he said 47 years ago, and I love that. Did you say that on the spur of the moment?
I did.
That was very wise. But amen. Happy birthday, Jim. Again, praise God. If you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5. Today I want to talk about everyone's favorite subject, about I need a break. Anyone ever been there? Give me a break, man. Jeez Louise, I need a break. But John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is in Hebrew Bethesda. Say that for me. Bethesda. You said it. Having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for a moving of the water. What are they doing?
Waiting.
They're just waiting. Waiting there. In verse number 4, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and whoever stepped in or did a belly flop in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. So what are they doing?
Waiting.
There's a lot of people. How many does the Bible say? He says a multitude. Some translations say hundreds of people. That's a lot of people. A lot of people sitting around, a multitude, and they're just waiting. What are they doing tomorrow?
Waiting.
And what are they doing the next day?
Waiting.
Next week? Waiting. Next month?
Waiting.
Next year? Waiting. They're just waiting. Waiting for the move of the water. God's doing a special thing here. He's doing a working of miracles, a special faith, the gifts of healings. And these are for just a person. A few people that get this, and it doesn't happen for everyone in at this pool because they've lost sight of their covenant reality with God, their covenant of healing, that He was their Jehovah Rapha, and they you know, faith comes by hearing, and they just haven't been hearing it. And so God's moving and with signs and wonders to show them that, hey, I'm still here. How many got healed? How many were there? Like turtles at a pond. Everyone ever been around a pond? You see the turtles on the log. When you come walking by, they just all pop, 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 pop. Yet every one of them could get similar, and us could get similar results with faith. We don't have to wait till tomorrow, the next day, next year, waiting for that stirring of the water. We can have it by faith. Amen. John chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew he had already been in that condition for a long time. And he said, "Do you want to be made well?" The King James says, "Will you be made whole?" The Amplified says, "Now there was a certain man who had suffered with a deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 years. Jesus noticed him there, lying there helpless, knowing that he had already been there a long time. Do you want to become well?" So he's laying there helpless. He's laying there with a deep-seated, a lingering disorder, 38 years. Will you be made whole? Doesn't that seem like an unnecessary question? All these sick people. But notice it's not, "Hey, you're sick, do you want to be made well?" Jesus is asking, "What's in your heart? What's your condition, your mindset? Do you want to be, are you really wanting to be made well?" And notice what the man said in verse number 7. And this is an actual photo. I found it on Google. he said, the sick man answered, he said, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." I don't have a man. Another person comes down. Is that what Jesus asked him? What did Jesus ask him? He said, "Do you want to be made well?" And what was the man's answer? "I can't. There's no way. There's no how. I have no man." If Jesus is wanting to know if he wants to be made whole, and this man's just singing the blues. Anybody like the blues? I like sometimes listen to Blues Traveler while I'm running. Anybody like Blues Traveler? "Ain't got nobody to help me in. I ain't got nobody, I just need a friend. I ain't got nobody, I just need some help. I just can't catch a break. I need some help. I need a break, man." He's singing the blues. But singing the blues is not faith. Singing the blues does not move God. What pleases the Lord? You can sing the blues for 38 years and be further from your healing than when you started. "I ain't got nobody. I need a break. Someone always gets in. I just need a chance. I need a break." Anyone ever said things like that? I think I have said things like that recently. Anyone said things like that recently? You got to kick yourself when you do that. So don't do that. I catch myself, you know. Just for example, driving past the car lot. Like, I want one of those. Why can't I have one of those? I need one of those. Why does someone else always get one of those? Have you said things like that? If Jesus asks, "Will you be made whole?" what should your answer be? Yeah. Yeah. And what was this man's answer? In the Living Bible it says, "I can't," the sick man said, "for I have no one to help me in the pool. While I'm trying there, someone else always gets in ahead of me." Notice his attitude of his heart, his condition, his soul, his mind. The easy to read says, the sick man answered and said, "Sir, there is no one to help me to get in the water. And when it starts moving, and I try to be the first one in the water. I try, but when I try, someone always gets in before I can. I try so hard. This never works out for me." Did you know that God never told us to try to do anything? He made, when he speaks, he says to do it. Because if he said to try, then that's implying that maybe you can or maybe you can't. If he said to try, then that means he doesn't know whether you can or not. And before he told you to do anything, he knows that you can do it. He doesn't tell you to be full of faith and courage. He doesn't say try to be full of faith and courage. He says be full of faith, be full of courage, be strong and courageous. If the Lord tells you to do something, then by faith you do it. If he did to go through that door, and there's 15 guards by that door, and there's 15 deadbolts and 15 padlocks, then by golly, you stand there until that door opens for you. You stand there and you keep working. You keep working the word. You keep speaking the word over it. Amen. If he told you to do it, I gave it the story Wednesday about Brother Hagin counting the offering. He was believing for a certain amount in the offering, and the preacher counted the offering, and the amount wasn't there. So what did he say? Oh, shucks, maybe next time. No, he said, count it again. So they counted again, and guess what? It wasn't there again. So what did he do? Count it again. Yeah. He was expecting it to be there, and it was. Too many people, when they encounter difficulty, when the Lord directed them to do something, they come back and they say, I tried. It must not be the Lord's will. I tried. I just need a break. If someone could just give me a break. No one ever gave me a chance growing up. It's so hard. It's so hard to get through. They're singing the blues, and that's exactly the same as the unsaved world, and we're called to be different. We're called to think different. We're called to talk different. We're called to sing and listen to different songs. Amen. I was driving home last night, and I had my earbuds in, and I was trying to tell my phone to open my Audible app and play the audio book I've been listening to, and instead it shuffled my iPhone, my music app. And so one of the songs that came up was an old Skillet song, and I loved it because it just fits right in here, and I'm not a singer, and I always thought this song could be turned into a praise and worship song, but it's a rock song, okay? The way it's sung, it's not, someone needs to turn it into a praise and worship song. But I'm gonna read the first verse to you here, and I'm not gonna sing it. If you're sick, if you're sick, if you're sick, if you're sick of it. That's a good start right there, right? If you're sick, if you're sick, if you're sick of it. Anyone ever got sick of it? When everything you do don't seem to matter, you try, but it's no use, your world's getting blacker. When every time you fail has no answer, every empty promise made is a reminder that no one can make this better. Take control, it's now or never. And the verse, the chorus says, are you sick of it? Raise your hands. Get rid of it. While there's a fighting chance, are you over it, bored to death? Have you had enough regret? Take a stand, raise your hands if you're sick of it. Now, you might be saying, sick of it. No, he's saying, raise your hands in thanksgiving. Instead of singing the blues, start saying, praising and worshiping and thanking the Lord that you're getting through this thing. Amen. Thanksgiving gets rid of the blues. How can you be blue and down and depressed when you're singing and praising and saying, thank you, Lord? I'm done. I'm over this. You're getting me through this. Amen. Chase, can you turn that into a praise and worship song for me? I mean, y'all can get, can't you, isn't the Skillet guy, isn't the guy that's over visible? We know that little. I mean, y'all can get some extra credit doing that, can't you? I mean, the CEV says, the man answers, sir, I don't have anyone to put me in the pool when the water stirred up. I try to get in, but someone else always gets there first. They're always first. Anyone ever said things like that? They always get the better thing. There's just a clique over there. You know, you have to be part of that clique to get it. I remember in Cleveland, I hope they're not listening. If you are, I'm sorry. the pastor's daughter was getting married to Pastor John Mathis, who's been here to preach before. And there was another fellow that was living with Pastor James, and I was living with Pastor James at the time, I was in college, and he wanted to preach at the church. He was a minister, and he had a college ministry at the school I went to, but he hadn't been invited to preach at Cleveland Christian at any time. And he was so mad one day. He says, what do I have to do to get to preach up there? Marry the pastor's daughter? It was very funny. But someone always gets there first. I just need a break. If you're looking to man to solve your problem, then your eyes are on man for salvation and deliverance. Faith puts no pressure on people to make it better. Faith puts no pressure on a circumstance or an event or a check in them. Faith puts no pressure on people to make it better. There's a lot of people and Christians and preachers putting pressure on people. Husbands putting pressures on their wife, and wives putting pressure on their husband. And they're looking to other people as their source and their provider. Why are they pulling on them? Because they don't see the Lord as their source. They see, oh, I see Mr. Moneybags over there, and Mr. Moneybags is going to help me out. Grandma can write a check for me. She'll get me out of this situation. They're expecting other people to help. And he may have set things up for you. Like you're praying for a favor in a situation. You're praying for something to be paid off. And the Lord heard your prayer and he's answered it. You may not have seen it yet, but it's in the works. He's working on someone. They may not know why they feel led to help you in a certain way. And for weeks and months, the Lord's working on them, and they're getting it ready for you. And you show up one day, and you just act like a heathen and like you should be expecting something, and you just ruin the whole thing. It's like planting a seed in the ground, and you're just digging up your seed, and you're never going to get a harvest out of that. Brother Keith Morey tells a story about when they traveled the airlines. They showed up one day and all the flights were being canceled, and there was lines out the door, people trying to get their flights rebooked, and people were cussing and yelling at the people behind the counter, and they make it up to the counter, and the first thing they say out of their mouths is, "I'm sorry you're having to deal with all this. I'm sorry you're having to go through this. And they were just trying to pour love and peace over the person behind the counter. And so the person's like, "I can't do anything about this. All the things are," you know, they are very stressed out because the person before them had just rung them through the ringer. So he finally said, "Hey, what's your deal? And where are you all going?" And so he starts typing back when it was a little bit different on computers, just typing, and he starts finding things. He says, "Where's your bags at?" And he said, "Right here." He said, "Follow me." And they picked him up. It was before 9/11. They went through the security doors out the back and all the way through all the security areas and out the door. And here they were at a jet bridge. They get on the plane, and he set them in first class. And he said, "You'll be there before you were supposed to get there anyways." And they were even booked in first class. And, you know, it was, but they weren't looking to that man or that woman behind the counter to make it right for them. They were trusting the Lord to make it better because they had already prayed about it. They knew the Lord was going to get them to where they're going. If you ride people, you're looking to them to fix your problems, to make it work, which means you're not looking to God and you're not in faith about it. We need to make sure we're not riding people, that we're not looking to them to make it better. We're not, you know, faith works by love, and if you're getting on to people to make it better, then you're not walking in love either. If you get in fear and you put pressure on people saying, "You got to help me, you got to help me, you got to help me," it says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 6, it says, you're cursed if you're trusting in man. But notice what it says in verse number 7. It says, "Blessed is the man who believes and trusts and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confident expectation is the Lord." Hope is expecting it to happen. I'm expecting the Lord to work and move for me. I'm expecting it to happen. It takes faith to get your eyes off of man and your eyes off of the government and your eyes off your boss or whoever it is to expect them to move for you. It takes faith to do that. And here's this man at the pool. He says, "I have nobody. I have no one to help me." And that's the talk of an unbeliever. And we're just supposed to be different. Amen. We're not going to tell this whole story, but in Genesis chapter 42, verse number 36, talking about Jacob, when Joseph was in Egypt, over the country, And now Jacob, their father, said to them, "You have bereaved me of Joseph is no more, Simeon is no more, and you want to take Benjamin. All these things are against me." The New Living says, "Everything is going against me." The Holloman says, "Everything always happens to me. Why does this always, why does bad things happen to good people, God? Why? When you say it always happens to you, you believe it always happens to you, and it's going to happen to you. You're a trouble magnet when you're speaking that way. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words can bring death or life, and you're in control of your tongue. Amen? Is it true or not? Is it true if you say something with your mouth and believe with your heart, you will have what you say? It works just as powerfully negatively also. You're confessing your future when you're going around saying, "I can't do it. There's no way. There's no how. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know how to get there." You're confessing it over yourself. Matthew 12:37 says, "The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you." Words of faith give God an open door, an opportunity, and a right to move in your life. Words of unbelief, just like that, open the door to the devil to work in your life. You have power over him. All you have to do is resist him, and what does the word say? He will flee. But if you're giving him an opportunity, then he's going to move. Let's not let him move. Amen? We should treat phrases like, "Everything is against me," "I can't," "I don't know," "I don't understand." We should treat phrases like that like the most foulest cussing you could ever say. I mean, you would be like, "Oh, heaven forbid you let a four-letter word come out of your mouth," that you will say, "I can't do it. I'm stupid. There's no way. I'm going to die. I can't see it, not time. I'm losing my mind," whatever it is. You should treat things like that like the foulest cussing. Amen? If you become more selective in what you say and what you pray, you will become more effective. You have to be selective and guard those words coming out of your mouth. It's like an arrow. If I'm going to shoot an arrow, once that arrow leaves, it's gone. Don't let that arrow leave your quiver. You know, keep it there. Keep words of faith and power. Let those words come out of your mouth. Amen? What if everything you said happened? It does. You're right, Eric. That is God, and we're supposed to be imitators of God. When God speaks 100% of the time, 100% of the things He says happens, and He wants us to speak and talk just like Him. Amen? But people who run their mouth and say whatever crosses their mind, their words are powerless and empty except against them. So don't let useless words come out of your mouth because they're powerful against you and not anything else. What if you never said anything except these things? The anointing is on me to prosper. Everything I put my hand to goes. I have such tremendous favor with God and with man. He is ordering my steps. He is directing my path. I am His sheep, and I know His voice. A stranger's voice I will not follow. I have an unction of the Holy One. I know everything I need to know. I will do the right thing. I will always be at the right place at the right time. Every one of my needs are met, always. I live in abundance. I will not lack as long as I live. I will live. I will not die. I will not lose my mind. I will always have sufficiency in all things and abound to every good work. Wealth and riches will be in my house. Peace and joy are flowing all over me. I'm good looking. I have the mind of Christ. I have the peace that surpasses all understanding. And everything I put my hand to, I have favor. Isn't that a lot better than going around saying, I can't do it, there's no way, there's no how, I'm stupid, I'm dumb? No, you have the mind of Christ, and you are made in the express image of Jesus, and you are supposed to speak and talk just like Him and use His authority coming out of your mouth. In verse number 7, the man said, "I have no man." But what did Jesus say? Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your bed, and walk." Yeah. He didn't respond to, I don't have a man. Notice that. He didn't say, oh, it's okay. I know you're trying to do your best. You know, do your, it's let me. No, he said, get up. Get up and walk. You are well. The best advice you can ever have. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for the best advice you can ever have? Okay, this is two parts. First part is stop saying, I don't know, I can't do, I'll have it. You know, stop saying those type of things. Number two, never ever, under any circumstance, ever, not on a Monday, on a Tuesday, not at a Sunday at 11:25, ever, not when you're 87, not when you're 14, not whenever it is, never, ever, ever feel sorry for yourself. Amen. Never. Don't get in your pity party. It's a path to darkness. It's inviting the devil in. You need to lay in your darkened room and put the cool cloth on your head and put on your flute music or whatever it is. And I can't talk right now. I just need a break. I just can't catch a break. This always happens to me. Anyone ever had a pity party? I had a pity party place. We're supposed to have a prayer closet, but I had a pity party place in Cleveland. If I would go out my office window, I was up on the second floor, I was up on the roof, and I would get out on the roof, and I would turn the corner, and I would go up in the valley of the roof, and no one would ever see you there. Ever. I mean, you could be there, you could lie there dead, and no one would ever find you. That was my pity party place. I don't know why I said that, but that was fun. I lost my place. Never, ever, ever, never. It's a path to darkness. At the same time, when you're having a pity party, it's being unthankful. And it's being prideful. You're being prideful that you can't do it. Instead of like, I can do it all by myself. Well, you can do it all by yourself, just in misery and destruction and defeat while you're laying there crying with you. The ugliest demon in the world sitting there petting you on the head while you're crying. Don't get in that pity party. There are times you cry, there's times you shed the tears, there's times you mourn, there's times you weep, and then there's times you pick yourself up, you wipe your face off, and you say, Lord, you're getting me through this, I'm overcoming this, we're going through this stronger and better. Amen? You're thankful. Thank you, Lord, you're getting me through this. The more you push people and pull on people, I mean, imagine someone's coming up to you and pressuring you to do something for them. You gotta help me, you gotta help me, you gotta help me. It makes you not want to do it for them, right? It makes them want to run away because faith puts no pressure on people. Amen. Faith puts no pressure on people. We're trusting the Lord to do it. Amen? I've been young, I've been old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I need this, I need that. Begging makes, I can't, there's no way, makes, and I need makes beggars out of people. And we're not supposed to be beggars out of people. We're supposed to be trusting the Lord and bringing this through this. Amen? Amen. Amen. Jesus looks at this man who's been saying these things for 38 years, and he says, will you be made whole? And the man said, I don't have a man. He's looking at the man. I don't have a man. You do have the man. You have the man, Jesus Christ. He's seated right now at the Father, working on your behalf as an advocate. He's saying, hey, Father, look at them. They're using faith. Look at that. Look at that. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, leading you and guiding you and directing you and strengthening you and comforting you on the inside. You have the man. It delivers you. It makes you free of burdens and bondage. It makes you free of pulling on other people. Amen? You can get that house, that car, that thing you need without pulling on anybody, Why? Because you do have somebody. You have the man. Jesus said, "Rise, take up your bed." And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and walked. Jesus said, "Get up, take your bedroll, start walking." And the man was healed on the spot. He picked up his bedroll and walked off. The Weiss translation says, "Snatch up your pallet and start a walking, man. Get your George Jefferson on. Get it on. You're going." He picked up your thing and walked. Amen. Don't lay there in your misery and your whining and your whatever it is. Snatch it up and get to moving. He quit singing the blues. He quit feeling sorry for himself. He quit making excuses. He got his eyes off of everything except for Jesus. And he looked at the man that was talking to him and he stepped up. He stood up. And that miracle that no one could do in his body for 38 years happened just like that. And tomorrow he's not at the pool. The next day he's not at the pool. Tomorrow he's not at the pool. Amen. Stand up with me if you would. In a moment, in a word, in a moment it changed his life. In a moment, trusting in the Lord changed his life. As you're speaking His words, things are happening. Things are moving. Things are changing in your life. But if you go around saying, "I can't," you're taking a step backwards. But He wants you to take a step forward. I'm going to choose to speak what His word says. Amen. I'm going to choose. It's time to get up and stop feeling sorry for yourself. It's time to get up and start looking at man for the answer. It's time to get up and start expecting the bank, the government, the politician, the doctor to be your answer. We do have the man. We have the man, Jesus. He died on the cross for us to be well. He died on the cross that you are well in your body right now. You are well in your body right now in the name of Jesus. You don't have to be afraid. Stand firm. The word says, "Haven't I commanded you strength, courage?" Don't be timid. Don't be discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. And we thank you, Lord. You're with us. You're leading us. You're guiding us. We praise you. We worship you that you are our source. You are our rock. We can run to you and we thank you. We can run to you and thank you. You may not have it all together in the natural, but He's calling you to places that you don't belong in the natural, and He's equipped you to go. He's given you the ability. He's given you the what you need to get there. You will go in His power. You will go in His strength. You will go in His ability, and there will be promotion. There will be advancement. There will be, at the end of the day, you'll say, "God is faithful. God is good. He's always been good. He's always had a plan. I didn't leave it, although I got distracted over here, although I got distracted over there. I stayed faithful to His assignment. I stayed faithful to what He's called me to do. I may have got a little mopey here, but I asked for forgiveness and I'm on the road. He's sending me where I'm going. I'm walking. I'm picking up my pallet and I'm moving on. I've seen my God promote me. I've seen my God elevate me, and He's continuing to do that every step I take. And Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that it's done. Let words of thanksgiving come out of your mouth. I thank you, Lord. I praise you. You are my source. You are my rock. You are my redeemer. And I trust you and I depend upon you. And I thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. It's time to get up, and I'm standing strong. Say that with me. I'm standing strong. I'm standing strong. Strength. Courage. No fear. No discouragement. No oppression. Strong. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We give you all the praise and glory, and we just worship you. If you're listening to the sound of my voice and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you can have this strength. You can have this courage. All you have to do is ask the Lord to be your Savior. Ask Jesus to forgive you for all your sins and say, "Thank you, Jesus. You are my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Amen, amen. Just like that man by the pool. And all those people waiting for the waters to be stirred. He's stirring in you right now. And he's saying, speak my words. Speak my words. Speak my words. You don't have to wait for a special thing. It's now, for you now. And we thank you for that, Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. Don't go around saying, I need a break, amen. Saying, the Lord is getting me through this. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my redeemer. Amen. 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 Don't forget, there's some sign-up sheets back yonder. And you're dismissed. Amen. Have a wonderful week. Amen. Pastor James and Melissa will be back next Sunday. Praise God.